Well, as we begin a new year here at Wyndham Community Chapel, our focus for the next 31 weeks will be on a journey through the Bible and the story of God's desire to redeem mankind despite all of our failures. If you're here for the first time or fairly new to the church, I want to welcome you to this journey. We'll be exploring God as recorded in the Bible, his story. And it's one continuous story that has many subplots to it and some interesting situations occurring. Some of these situations are amusing, some are just tragic, and some are just awe-inspiring as we see our God in action. Perhaps you didn't realize that the Bible is not written chronologically in our English translation. Much of it is grouped together by theme or by author. During the journey, however, we're going to look at it chronologically from the beginning of time through to the end where Jesus talks about him coming back to return to earth with his church. Well, to help us through this journey, we're going to use a resource called The Story. And I want to make it real clear up front. This does not replace the Bible. It's a resource that you can use alongside of your Bible. Now, the advantage of using the story book is that it allows us to read chapter by chapter, following along with the message and the small groups as we go. Well, it's my desire through this story that you will understand even greater God's redemption story, that you will discover how much God really loves you. And I want you to understand the extent that God went to rescue you from your lifelong struggle with sin. Well, to do that, we're kind of going to step out of our normal routine here as a church, and we're going to take a all-hands-on-deck approach for the next 31 weeks. From the morning service to the children's Sunday school that we'll meet during the service like we normally do, to small groups, we're all going to focus on the same part of God's story together, all the way from the children through the adults, all focused on the same events week after week for 31 weeks. You see, we live in a time that really doesn't know much about God. Well, not only is there a basic lack of understanding about the Bible in our world, but also for those who know the stories and the facts that are contained in the Bible, there is a disconnect between what you know and how we live our lives. And that's especially true in evangelical churches like ours. You see, the Bible is a love letter from God to mankind. It's our guidebook that allows us to know God and discover how we can live a life that is fulfilling, a life that God died for us to have. It provides for us real answers to real problems in our lives. It shows us the way to have eternal life in the presence of God himself. See, the Bible is like no other book. It is God's written words to us, and it contains his plan for our lives. This is what God says about his word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and 25 says this: all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13: and we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. You see, the Bible, God's word, is powerful, and it can transform our lives if we will follow and obey it. And that's because we're not here by accident. God has a plan for your life, and it's found in His Word. So as we begin this journey together, I want to look this morning at a time when two men understood this truth, and it transformed their lives. It's found in Luke chapter 24, and I invite you to turn there. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to give you a little background to the situation before we start to read in verse 15. It was a Sunday morning on a busy road between Jerusalem and Emmaus. But just like in Dummerston, early Sunday mornings are pretty quiet, and there wasn't much foot traffic. These two men were talking about the tragic events that had taken place on Friday, where Jesus had been crucified on a hill outside of Jerusalem called Golgotha. You see, these men were followers of Jesus, but they were extremely confused and disillusioned by, from their perspective, his unexpected death. But not only had Jesus died on Friday, that they had just found out early that same Sunday morning that his body was gone from the tomb of Joseph where it was laid on Friday. And they presumed that thieves had stolen it. So that's what they were dealing with. And we pick up the story in Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 15. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" You know, I don't know how Jesus hid his true identity from them. Perhaps he was wearing a hoodie. More likely, he hid his identity through divine means. But they didn't recognize him. But notice that Jesus took an interest in them and what they were discussing. He was interested in their story, in their lives. You know, at a critical time, when life seems to have thrown these two men a curveball, Jesus was there and he was interested in them. He cared for them. Just when life doesn't seem to make sense, when everything you thought to be true or knew or believed was kind of thrown up in the air, God shows up. He asked in verse 19 what they were discussing. Look at their response in verse 19. It said, "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." In response, Jesus says this in verse 25, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Jesus took them. He went all the way back to the beginning of the story to show them that he is there and how it all ties together. He gives to them a biblical historical lesson that ties the Old Testament to the New Testament through Jesus. He shares with them the stories about all the people of Israel's past and shows them how they all tie together in Jesus. You see, God's story is all about Jesus. And our story and God's story comes together through Jesus. The Bible, from the beginning to the end, is a story about Jesus. He was there at the beginning. In fact, he was the creator of all things. And he will come back again for his church to spend eternity in the presence of God the Father. You can summarize God's story this way. In the Old Testament, Jesus is coming. In the Gospels, Jesus is here. In the rest of the New Testament, Jesus is coming again. You see, God's story is seamless and consistent. It was written in three different languages on three different continents by over 40 authors over a period of 1,500 years or 60 generations. Yet it is one cohesive and consistent story that reveals God's desire to redeem mankind despite our failures. Through life's ups and downs, we see in the Bible a loving God reaching out his hand to rescue a people who are struggling with life's problems. Some of the problems are their own making, and some of the problems are merely because they live in a world full of sinful people. Now, the reason that Jesus gave these two men a history lesson about himself is because he knew that life is incomplete without a relationship with God. You see, every story recorded in the Bible is really two stories, the upper story and the lower story. The lower story is written from a horizontal perspective. It's life seen through the eyes of a person as told to another person. It's day-to-day living with all of the joys and the struggles, the disappointments and the wonder. It is life from a 6-foot perspective. But the upper story, however, is written from a vertical perspective, from God's perspective. It explains to us what in the world God is up to. And God weaves his story into our story. Now, why in the world does this matter? Simply this reason. The truth is that no person or no group can ever meet all of your needs. But God can. And this is where the upper story intersects with our lower story, and it provides hope for us in our life here on earth. So each week, as we go through the story, we are going to look at both the lower story and the upper story. We're going to look at ordinary people like Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Joseph and many more. We'll see the events of their lives through some incredibly difficult times. And we're also going to see some remarkable achievements in their lives. But we're also going to look at it from the upper story perspective and how God was working and in and through their lives to rescue them from their eternal sin condition and the effects that it was having on their lives. Well, I mentioned earlier that we're going to take an all-hands-on-deck approach. And this means that we're going to saturate ourselves each week in a small segment of God's story together. Today, you can pick up your copy of the story downstairs. And each week, like I did this week in the bulletin, there is an assignment for you to read in regards to next week, to prepare yourself. This will prepare you for our study together. Now, we're going to be looking at most weeks lengthy periods of time. And they're far more than I could ever possibly hope to cover in one sermon. For instance, the suggested reading for next week is chapter 1 and pages 1 through 12 in the book. And this covers creation. It covers the choice of Adam and Eve to sin and disobey God. It covers Noah and the great flood. And it covers the events leading up to Abraham's birth. Now, I'm not that good. I can't possibly cover all of that in the sermon. And I'm not even going to try. That's why we're encouraging everyone to read the book and the things that we're covering there, but also to be involved in the small groups where we will be discussing the events that take place. We're going to be watching in a small group a video segment, a 10-minute video segment by Pastor Randy Frazee, who's going to teach us about the lesson that takes place there. And then we're going to share together in discussion in a community of believers the same perspective that God is sharing with us about the story and what it means in our lives. Now, I recognize that the preaching of God's word is invaluable, and it's critical for everyone's spiritual health. But I believe so too is being in community with one another during this journey. To be able to share together in practical discussion, to share some of the lessons that God is teaching you as you're reading through his word and you're listening to his voice, to support one another and to pray for one another in these 31 weeks is essential to your spiritual development. That's why I'm encouraging everyone to be involved in a small group. We're offering groups, as I mentioned earlier, 5 of them. Ladies only, Tuesday morning at 9:30, a Monday night group, a Tuesday night group, and 2 on Wednesday night. And these groups are open to everyone, but I want to encourage you to sign up so we can make sure we have enough room for everyone. I believe that if you will make this a priority for these 31 weeks, you will see great spiritual benefits, and you'll be glad that you took the time to spend that with others. Well, another way that we're helping you to maximize this journey is the fact that we are doing it all together as a family. For those of you who have children, you can know that they are studying exactly the same passage, the same events that we are studying as well in the small group in here on Sunday morning in the message. It will give you an opportunity at home to talk with your children about what they are learning, since you have a pretty good understanding if you're paying attention to what's taking place as well. It will help you to reinforce that in the life of your children so that together you can be growing spiritually. As you can see, we've tried to provide multiple resources to assist you on your journey through God's story. The more of these that you take advantage of, the greater the spiritual impact upon your life. I hope and I pray and I believe that these 31 weeks could make an eternal impact upon your life. I really do. Well, that's enough. Let's go back to the journey of the two men on the road to Emmaus. Luke chapter 24. It says in verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going to go further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. These two men, still unaware that they were talking to Jesus himself, invited Jesus to stay with them. It was likely in one of their homes in the small town of Emmaus, and they invited Jesus to stay for supper and probably to stay overnight as well. Even though they didn't know it, in many ways they were inviting Jesus into their lives, into all of their routine. They were welcoming him to share what they had and to be involved just a little while longer with them. And it was during this encounter that we discover that God's story and your story is still being written. You see, Jesus desires to have a relationship with each one of us. He desires to be involved in our day-to-day life if we let him. Jesus desires to be more than just a figure in a story. He wants to enter into a personal relationship with you, with each one of us. You see, it was only after these two men invited Jesus to spend more time with them that their eyes were fully opened and they discovered who they were really talking to. It says in verse 30 that they sat down to eat, and Jesus took bread and gave thanks for it and passed it to his two friends. And it was only then that they recognized Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah of the world. We know this from their response to the fact that Jesus disappeared from their sight. Look in verse 33. It says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. You see, Jesus is interested in your life, and he is interested in your story. They matter greatly to God. See, God's story is all about Jesus, who came to rescue mankind from their sin. And God wants your story to intersect with his story through our response to Jesus Christ. If we allow him to, his story will change your life, and it will produce great things in your life. Because God knows that our life is incomplete without a relationship with him. And because God knew that, and because he loved us, he sent his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth to pay the price of our sin, and that by faith in him, we might have a restored and eternal relationship with Almighty God. That is what God's story is all about, from beginning to end. John 3:16 says it best, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I want to encourage you, each one of you, to immerse yourself in God's story during these 31 weeks in our journey together. As I said before, I believe that this can make a significant eternal difference in each one of your lives. You know, nothing takes place without sacrifice. Oh, I hate that too. You know, sometimes in our lives we think, man, if I could just do nothing and get ahead, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Anything worthwhile in our lives takes effort. It takes sacrifice. It takes something of ourselves. And that's true spiritually. And you say, well, Pastor, I made the sacrifice to come. It was 21 below this morning. I came to church. Well, good for you. Thank you. The sacrifice that I'm talking about is one that says, I will give priority to God in my life. Not my will, but yours be done. I will pursue after God with my whole heart. I am willing to make personal sacrifices in order to get the end result of a stronger, fuller, more mature relationship with God Almighty. That happens when we give our lives to Jesus Christ and we follow hard after him. One of my favorite descriptions of the Christian life is a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. It's then and only then where you will see the results in your life spiritually that God died to give to you. It's my hope and prayer that each one of you will make that determination in your life and you will sacrifice what it takes in order for you to grow spiritually in your relationship with God. He has a plan for you. Each one of us, it's found in his word. And through these 31 weeks, we're going to discover how God's story and your story works out. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the reminder this morning of the truth that you love us with an everlasting love. That you looked down upon us in our hopeless, sinful condition and recognized our need for a Savior because we couldn't climb out of our sin hole all by ourselves. So you sacrificed your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay our price in order to bring redemption through faith in him. God, thank you for your great love for us. Help us in these days as we discover and as we begin to explore how your story and our story intersects. Father, would you lead us and guide us? Would you help us to explore that with open hearts, open minds, and open eyes? Reveal to us, Father, your plan for our lives, for our church. We look forward to what you are going to do in this time together, and we commit ourselves to that in Jesus' name. Amen.